We're doing in Yaakov. We're up to the end of the 11th chapter in Tractate Shabbat in Ein Yaakov. And we had learned last time about the different draperies that were on the Mishkan. Chalutzim ayu krashim. The beams had a slit in them. Chalulim ayu adanim. And they went into the adanim, into the sockets that fit into, if the beam had a slit, so the socket went into it. Venirin krasim balulot. We ended off describing how the hooks could be seen through the loops, kakochavim barakia, like stars in the sky, because they were made of gold and copper, and the draperies were made of material. Tanu rabanan. We have a braita. Yiriot atachtonot. Bottom layer. When you went into the mishkan, what you saw was tchelet, blue, argaman, whatever that is. As a kid, they told us purple. Then you see the commentaries, it sounds more reddish. Vishil tolat shani, which was a red that was like blood. Vishil sheish, whatever that is, that might be a white of linen. Ve'elyonot shen maseizim, the higher layer was made of goat's hair. It required greater wisdom to form the upper layer than the lower layers, because on the lower layers it says, any woman that had a smart heart, so she weaved the lower layers. On the upper layers it says, women whose hearts were uplifted in wisdom. So the lower layer it says if they had wisdom, the upper layer it says if they were uplifted in wisdom. And so you see it took greater skill to prepare the upper canopy. Why was that so? Why did that require so much skill? They used to take the goats alive, wash them off, and then weave the hair on the goats and plan out how that, once they cut it off the goats, it was already ready to be attached as a canopy. So that took planning. How do you weave hair on a goat? I don't know. How do you keep a goat still? I don't know how you weave on the goat. So it says that took extraordinary wisdom. That's, I don't know. I guess there was. It says those who had extraordinary skill. So I don't know. And now we move on to the 12th chapter. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira taught, Ne'emar b'sheni v'niskeyem. On the second day of Sukkot, it says you will bring the flower offerings with niskeyem, with the wine libations, the pourings. B'shishi, on the sixth day, it says nisachah. Also, it's pouring. And b'shvi, it says kemishpatam. So you have an extra mem, yud, mem. And that spells out the word mayim. Oh, so from here, mikan remez l'nisuchamayim min haTorah. So that's an allusion to the idea that we had on tradition that you should pour the waters, because you have 7 days, you have the description of the libation, and each time it says v'niska, and it's pouring, and then you have 3 days where it changes the wording and it adds a mem here, a yud there, a mem there. So our sages said that's an allusion, doesn't prove anything, it's an allusion to our tradition that you should pour water, which is interesting because the idea of pouring wine, so that was an international idea, it wasn't only a Jewish thing. You pour wine in honor of we know the mitzvah in honor of Hashem, right? And then there's concept of Yain Nesech, the nations did it. You read the different works of the Greeks, and earlier you see they did it. Pouring water, I don't know of anyone who did it. That's a tradition we had.
We had the Sadducees who didn't do it. Remember?
Right. Very nice.
Feet, right?
Right. Very nice.
I'm saying, is this considered just it's weaker or stronger? Because the Gemara also talks about Ve'en Ra'ya L'Davar, Ve'Zecher L'Davar. But here this has come to say, like, there is a Ra'ya.
There's a Remez, it says.
Oh, this is a Remez.
Remez.
And that's, is that different from a... Is that like the same thing as
in Ra'ya
L'Davar,
Zecher L'Davar? No. Similar. It's not the same thing. No. The Gemara discusses what happens if you write part of a word. You come to write the name Shimon, you write Shin Mem, you write Shem. So you wrote, Shem is also a name, right? You want to write Daniel and you write Dan. So you wrote a word. You want to write Hashem's name and you write Yud-Ke. So that's also Hashem's name. So the Gemara says, we know in the alphabet, you have a mem that's closed. That's at the end of the word. You have a mem that's open. And the Gemara says, "Mi depatuach vaso satum kasher." If you had an open mem and you closed it, you wrote shem, that's okay. Satum nami vaso patuach kasher. What do you also say if you got it the other way around? You meant to write shem and you wrote the last mem open, like a middle mem, is that okay? The Gemara says, "Mi dami," you can't compare. When you have an open mem and you closed it, so you made it even better. Why? The Gemara understands now that in ancient times all the mems were closed. And it was only later on that they had a tradition to develop the mem in the middle of the word to be open. So the Gemara says, "Patuach vaso satum." If you had an open mem and then you closed it, you made it a more ancient mem. In the times that the Torah was given, the mems were all closed. But if you do it the other way, then you've made it a worse mem. Wait a second. Wait, let's hear out the Gemara. The Amar Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda taught us, mem v'samach shebaluchot b'nes ayu omdim. Do we have a marker here?
So, the letters on the luchos were engraved, okay? So, if you have an engraved mem that's closed, or an engraved samach that's closed, so then this block should fall. How does it stay in its place? Now, in ancient Hebrew script, actually, this letter is an ayin. This is how you make an ayin. An ayin is a circle. A circle is an ayin. So this is a proof at this stage that the Gemara assumes that when the Torah was given, they had the alphabet like we have it. We know there are two forms of alphabet. There's what we call Ktav Ivri, which we find many writings from the time of the first Beit HaMikdash. And then there's Ktav Ashuri, and we have both. Ancient manuscripts were written in Ktav Ivri. And then the question is, who wrote Ktav Ashuri? What we have in our Sefer Torah, the script we know, that the circle is a samach. Is that what they used from Moshe Rabbeinu till Ezra in the Second Temple period? The beginning of the Second Beit HaMikdash, Ezra says, all Sefer Torah have to be written in our script, Ktav Ashuri, a Syrian script that they brought out of Babylon. What were they doing beforehand? So that's a machloket. Two opinions in the Braita, two opinions between the Tanoim, the rabbis of the Mishnah, in the period of the Mishnah. So you have two opinions as to what existed during the first temple period. Our Gemara seems to rule, and that's how that's the accepted opinion, that even in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sifrei Torah were actually written with the Assyrian script, because Rav Chisda tells us the Mem and the Samach required a miracle in order to stand. So from here the Gemara understands that in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu onward, initially, you didn't have two Mems. You had one Mem that was closed. In the middle or the end of the word. Let's see further for a second. Ela satum aso patuach garoi kamegarele. So the Gemara says, but maybe if you had a closed mem, you wanted to write the word shem, so the mem at the end of the word has to be closed, it's a mem in the end, and you left it open, the way we write a mem in the middle of the word, so then you made it a worse mem, because that's a mem that was only appeared on the scene later on. We have the following quote, Minatz Pach. Minatz Pach spells the letters that are double. Yes? Mem. We have this mem and this mem.
Nun, we have the nun in the middle of the word, and the nun at the end of the word. Tzadi and tzadi. Pei and pei. And chaf and chaf. So menatzpach. The double letters in the Hebrew alphabet spell menatzpach. Now it's not in alphabetical order when we say menatzpach, but we word it that way so that it'll sound like sofim. It's similar to the word sof. Sofe is one who has a vision, one who sees. So we're going to say now, Tzofim Amarum, the prophets, they're the ones who told us to have these double letters. Wait a second, V'tizbirat, does that make sense? Can it be that when the Torah was given, all the alphabet were closed? Right? The Mem was closed, the Nun was an end Nun. Can that be? V'aktiv, but the verse says, Eila mitzvot she'navi rashai lechadesh davar me'ata. Says a prophet can't do something new. You can't have a prophet show up and say, change your alphabet in the Torah. Make one mem this way and one mem that way. One nun this way, one nun that way. Can't be. It can't be a change, the Gemara says. Ela no, mia v'hava. They had it from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not the way we thought. We thought a closed mem, that was there from the days of Moshe. The open mem was an invention of the prophets. The Gemara says that's not true. But the scribes weren't sure which one goes at the end, which one goes in the middle. And then the prophets came along and said, the closed mem goes in the end. The open mem, that's what goes in the middle. The Gemara says, that's not a good answer. Prophet can't tell you something new. If we didn't have an exact tradition from Moshe how to write it, so then a prophet can't change the halacha and tell you write this type of mem in the middle and that in the end. The Gemara says you're right. We had a tradition from Moshe. Ela shechachum, but what happened was it was forgotten. V'chazru v'yisidum, and then they reestablished it. So the Gemara's conclusion is that from the days of Moshe we have both types of mem, both types of nun, pei, chaf. Tzadi, but they forgot it. The scribes over time forgot which one's supposed to be at the end, which one's in the middle. Some of the scribes got confused. There became a ruckus, which is the right way? And then they said, here, we have an ancient script. This is the way it's been. This is the way it's been from Moshe. And this is, and then they reestablished it.
No, it might have been just a different alphabet in the time of Moshe.
So from this Gemara we see it wasn't. This is the proof that the Meiri and others bring that the Gemara goes with the opinion that it was the same alphabet from Moshe.
What's all the ancient artifacts that have... Did they just change the alphabet? And say we had ancient
no,
artifacts?
So they had an alphabet that existed in Israel that the Hebrews used. And it could be that we used it for our regular writing. As we find Rashi, the printers wouldn't write Rashi in Torah script. They had a different script. The Yemenites, Mr. Yemenite.
That was is that on tradition, the Rashi script?
We have a tradition not to use Torah script for our own writings. That's halacha. So when Rav Kapach wrote me a dedication on his book, he wrote in Rashi script. That's how the Yemenites wrote. They would not use the Torah script to write anything but Torah. And that's why Rashi, the printers, thought it obvious to write in a different script. And it could be that that's how the Hebrew script that they found, that the what's called Ktav Ivri, that's what was used. Now you had the Sadducees, you had people who did not want to go with our tradition, and so it could be they wrote their Sifrei Torah with the Hebrew script. That could very well be. And so you might be able to find tefillin and Sifrei Torah with the Hebrew script. What you have to figure out is who wrote those tefillin.
Nice.
That's...
I came a little bit late, so some other people, this was the spaces of this came in the very beginning of this. When you this had Daniel and Dan, you know, if somebody wrote like a part of something that turned to the name, what's the significance?
The idea is on Shabbos. Is that considered that he wrote a word? Okay. He meant to write yeah. Daniel, and then he stopped after the nun.
And what do they say?
So the Mishnah says he's Chayav.
Yeah. Realize that the Shabbos or whatever after. Yeah,
Okay. So, Gufa, the Gemara goes back to its original quote. The Mem and Samach and the Luchos, they required a miracle to hold that piece hovering in the air. The writing of the Luchos had another miracle. That ordinarily, if you engrave something, then on the reverse side, so then you wouldn't be able to read it because it was backwards. But the writing on the Luchos went through and through, and you could still read it on the other side. Kigon, Navuv, Buvan, the writing of the Luchos was hollow through and through. Nevuv Luchot. So he says the word Navuv would be written backwards, Buvan. Rahav would be written Behar. And Saru would be Viras. It would be written backwards. Okay. Other opinions say there was a miracle, that it was read backwards. He's saying that it just went through and through, and it did on the reverse side. It was reverse.
That's no miracle.
Right. Then that's not a miracle. Right. Then the miracle is just in the hovering of the letters. Rashi and Tosos both mention these are words that don't appear in the Luchos. Why did the Gemara mention them? The Gemara could have taken words of the Luchos. Amrei Rabbanan Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. One of the rabbis in the Talmud is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was such a tzaddik that there wasn't a rainbow in his days. By his merit, there was no rainbow throughout his lifetime. So the rabbi said to him, "Atudaldeke haidana levi medrasha." Youngsters came to the base medrash now. The Amrumile, and they've said things that filu b'mei Yeshua binun lo itmar kavatayu, that even in the days of Yeshua binun, no one said like they have said. Okay, what did they say? Aleph Bet. If you look at the Aleph Bet, so Aleph Bet stands for Aleph Bina, learn Torah. Aleph Bet.
But that's
Aramaic. Aleph Bina, learn Torah. Gimel Daled, Gimel Dalim, be kind, help the poor. Torah, the Aleph Beis of Torah tell you, learn and help the poor, be a kind person. My time, pashut kare de Gimel agabe Daled. Why is it that the Gimel looks like he's taking a walk towards the Daled? Right? You look at a Gimel, it's as though he's taking a walk towards the Daled.
Getting another
marker? No, can you guys see what I wrote?
Barely.
Barely is good enough. If you see it, that's fine. So, why is the Gimel taking a walk towards the Dalet? Sheken darko shel gomel chasadim larutz achei dalim. Because how does a person behave when he does acts of kindness? He pursues the poor to give them. The guy walked by you, you run after him to give him the coin. That's why it's gomel dalim. The Gomel, the Gimel, who's doing the act to the Dal, to the poor, so he's walking towards him.
The Dal is facing away, right?
Oh, pashut kare de Dalet legabe Gimel. And why is it that the Dalet seems to be reaching back towards the Gimel? The limtze lenafshei, he wants to make himself available. He shouldn't have to run after him too much to catch him. So that's why.
Some people run the Dalet this way. Right, they make a slight slant. Okay, I give up. Now he's not going to say barely. One second, there's nothing there.
Got the new one? Okay. It's the new one in the
I hate to make him get up and do something. Works hard enough.
No, you don't.
All
Okay. We have Sfaradim here? No Sfaradim. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. So some people, what we would think it means is that this is the part that's reaching back to the Gimel, right? Gimel. Talit. One of the challenges in writing a Gimel in a Sefer Torah is that if we would write the Gimel like this, we would end up having a gap between the Gimel and the next letter, and it would easily start looking like two words. So today, we do our Gimel Ashkenazi. Most of you said you're Ashkenazi here. So we pull out the leg here, and then we do this. Okay? So our Gimel is brought back, so that when I write my Dalet, I can do that. Now, and it's close enough, it won't look like two words. The next thing is, what does it mean the Dalet's leaning towards the Gimel? So that's why many scribes will write the Dalet this way. It looks like he's leaning back to take from the one who's giving him charity. Why don't we say it's this? Because really, many ancients fired him, did not leave this hook outside. If you look at ancient Sfaradi Sifrei Torah, so many ancient Sfaradi Sifrei Torah, that's the Dalet, and that's the Resh. It's very hard to see the difference. That's the Beis, and that's the Chaf. The difference is in whether it's a sharp corner. So we accentuate it, we pull out a leg. But it's not so obvious as far as everyone's tradition that that's critical. So that's why we interpret this to mean this Gemara. This Gemara, we learn from this how to write a Dalet, that the leg of the Dalet is leaning towards the Gimel. Dilim tzele nafshe, the poor man tries to make himself available so that those who want to give him the charity can give it. Why doesn't he turn around and face him? Why is the Dalet facing forward, but he's just leaning back? Because he wants him to give it to him privately. Don't give me my charity in front of everyone. He doesn't want to get embarrassed from him. Okay, so we got Aleph Beit, Aleph Binat. Learn Torah.
It's a really bit of a Bina. Bina is not Bet. And Yalif is Aramaic.
Aleph means learn, right?
Aleph?
Yeah.
Like
Yalif, to learn out. Aleph, learn.
And Bina, that's not a letter.
Right. Aleph means learn, and learn the Torah, which is called the Bina. You'll tell me what's the base isn't Bina, but the truth is, it's a long answer. Let's... You guys want to cover it, right? Okay. So, you know that there's a whole book written on the first bays in the Torah, Bereshit. What does that bays stand for? No, so on the first letter of the first word in the Torah, there's a whole medrash. There's a whole sefer in medrash just on that beis. What does that beis stand for? What does it mean? Bit reishit, but elokim tashmayim taretz. But we do see that Torah begins with the letter beis. And the word beis sounds like bait, right? Beis. Yes? Bait. What does the word aleph mean? So, we say Torah is what makes me a worthwhile bayit. It makes... So this is going to be very long. What's aleph? I don't think we can go into all this. If you guys want, I'll say it quickly in 2 minutes. And whatever we understand, we understand. Whatever we don't understand, we'll leave hanging for a different time. Stay there. But now I'm going to talk fast, and we'll try to explain it thoroughly. We'll take at least till the end of class and probably more. But let's start. Okay? When we learn Torah, we're told, Ligus inishvat alisbo. First cover the ground, and then go in depth. You can't begin by going in depth. On the other hand, the essence of Torah is understanding the depth. If I don't have the depth, I don't have anything. If I don't really understand what I'm learning, I don't really have anything. So, there are different types of understandings we have in this world. There's the understanding we're born with, there's the understanding we develop, there's the understanding that we're taught. We sometimes think that every wisdom can be figured out, and it's not true. There are wisdoms which you'll never get to. You have to learn them because you won't be able to get to them on your own. Not everything can be figured out by a person himself. Some things you just can't get to with the scientific method. When we speak about Torah, so on the one hand there's Aleph, cover, learn, cover ground. On the other hand, there's also Aleph Bet, learn your house. Because the housing for everything you're going to learn, El Binatcha Al Tishain. Man begins his learning, he uses his own Bina. He figures the housing, the tool that I'm going to use for all my Torah is my understanding. How else can I learn Torah? You're right. But remember that you also have to get to the point of Aleph Bet, where I learn the house too. Where I learn the vessel with which I'm going to be the Bina. El Binatcha Al Tishain. Don't rely on your own understanding. When you approach Torah, you have to begin with your understanding. You begin by challenging and analyzing and learning and asking, and that's true. But you also have to get to Aleph Bina. Let me learn even the tools that I'm going to use to learn the Torah. There's a second stage to understanding. Once the Torah has won my trust, then I say, okay, now let's start again. Now you teach me with which tools I'm learning Torah. But that's a very short version. The Aleph Beis teach us Aleph Bina. You got to learn. And Gomel Dalim, you got to do kindness. You need both. That's the beginning of the Aleph Beis. What's Hey Vav? Zeshmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know Hashem's name is composed of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. So that's Hey Vav. Zayin Chet Tet Yud Kaf Lamed. Okay. Zayin Chet Tet Yud Kaf Lamed. Im Ata Osekein. If you have learning, kindness, and it's all with Hashem's name, so then Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zanotcha, Hashem feeds you. Chet, Hashem gives you Chanina. Tet, Hashem gives you Tov. And Yud, Hashem gives you Yerusha. Kaf, Hashem gives you a crown in the world to come. Mem, you have the open mem and the closed mem. This is where we'll pick up Bezat Hashem next week.